Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Gospel, starting at the beginning. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.'" This is the text. Title for the sermon, "Behold the Lamb of God." Another title for the sermon, "He must increase and I must decrease." Here's another title for the sermon, "The Invisible Pastor." Sound odd? Let's see what the theme is all about. It is about John pointing to Jesus and encouraging his disciples to follow him. Which, when you think about it, really is kind of strange. And in the whole scheme of world religion, because all over in the world you have preachers and you have religions where people are saying, "Follow me, follow me, follow me. And I will lead you to spiritual truth and I will lead you to spiritual fulfillment and happiness. Follow me." And along comes John the Baptist, and it's not "follow me." It's him. He is the one. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Or that other quote from John, and comes directly from John. "He must decrease," or "he must increase, and I must decrease." He must increase and I must decrease. Why? Because he is everything and I am nothing. He is worth it. I am not. You follow me, I will disappoint you. You follow me, you're following a sinner who will do all sorts of sinner things. Don't follow me, I'll lead you into a mess. I've said that humorously about my singing. You could follow me, but if you follow me singing, I'll lead you right over a cliff. Follow somebody else. But more importantly, it is in all religious truth, in all matters of the soul, follow him. Some years ago, there was a pastor came to preach at a small pastor's conference in our church, and during the sermon hymn, he sort of got up and disappeared. The song ended, it was time for the sermon, looking around. Then we hear this voice, and there he is in the back of the church, saying, "Who do you come here to see?" And as he starts in talking, we're all turning around, looking back at him. He says, "No, don't look at me. Do not look at me. Look toward the front. Look toward the one who it really is all about. Look to Jesus." And he preached his entire sermon from the back so he could be absolutely invisible. And you think about, carry that theme. That is what a pastor is supposed to be at some point, is absolutely invisible. So that when you go home from church on a Sunday morning, you're not saying, "Do you know what the pastor said?" And you're saying, "This is what the Bible said. We heard the words of the Bible. We heard the words of God." And that becomes the very most important thing, that you will have heard the word of God. And it does not matter who spoke it to you. In fact, sometime today you could hear a Sunday school child quote a Bible verse, and that could hit home in a very special way, so that you go home after church and you say, "I heard the word of God in a very special way." Well, what did the preacher preach about? No, it was a child in Sunday school. And that's the word of God coming to you, because it always is the word of God. And the person who seeks to bring you the Word of God is supposed to, at some point, try and become completely invisible. Fade into the background. So that all you see is Jesus Christ. So John the Baptist, he has his disciples and they're following him. And about that point, his ministry was really taking off, and crowds from all over Judea were coming out to see him. So much that when John baptized, he had to do crowd baptisms. And the archaeologists have found pools of water, as in about the size of a swimming pool, a good swimming pool, where you could put a crowd in there and baptize a crowd. As this is all taking off, what does John do? Does he enjoy the fame, the reputation, the acclaim? Lots of people are following me now. No. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And points the crowds and points his disciples to Jesus. And as time goes on, then Jesus begins to draw more and more crowds. John's disciples, in fact, come to him and say, "What are we to do? More people are going to Jesus than coming to us." And John says, that's the time of the quote. "He must increase, but I must decrease." It's a beautiful picture. And you come to church. And what are the people of church to say to anybody and everybody who comes in, or anybody and everybody who is a part of us? What we say is the same thing as John: "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When everything is said and done, if at the end of our lives people will say about us, not, "He was a great man, he did a lot of things, he accomplished much, look at what he built," but if they were to say about us, "He pointed to Jesus," that would be enough, wouldn't it? It is enough because Jesus is enough. In fact, he is everything. And as we go through our lives, we sort that out. What is enough? What is the really important thing in life? Again, some years ago, we were doing a vacation Bible school. And the theme of the vacation Bible school suggested this, so we ran with it and pushed it beyond what they suggested. Our theme for the first day was, "I know that God loves me." For the second day, faith means saying, "I know that God loves me." Third day, faith means saying, "I know that God loves me in every situation." Fourth day, faith means saying, "I know that God loves me in every situation, in every new day." And we went on like that. And what we were seeking to teach the young people was something that the older people have learned and experienced and tested out, which is very simply that to be able to say about your life this day and in the situation of this day, "I know that God loves me." That's what faith is all about. You wrestle with it, and you learn to say those things because throughout the day, throughout your life, you face difficulties and problems and challenges to faith. You face things that would encourage you to doubt or to question. And a detour on this. Has that not been the testing out for 2,000 years? In the time of the early church, did they not test the Christians? The Romans who arrested them, put them in prison, and martyred a whole lot of Christians, were they not testing out whether the Christians were still able to say, I know that God loves me? How does their faith hold up? Do they have a religion that can stand up to the rigors and the bruising turmoil of life? Can their faith stand in the face of threats and suffering and difficulty and problems, physical suffering and even death? Can their faith stand in that? And as the Christians stood up and said, yes, we know that God loves us. We know that God loves us. How? We know that he loves us because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Because Jesus carried us out of sin and into forgiveness, out of death and into life, out of darkness into light. And because the Christians were then able to say, though I lose everything, still, if I have this one thing, if I have Jesus Christ, if I have a relationship with him, that is enough. And the Christians were willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of the name of Jesus. It was tested out. Is it not tested out in our lives from beginning to end? And we go through things. And it's not always the hardships that test us. So we go through suffering or illness or financial problems or conflicts or difficulties in life or self-doubt. Or we go through times of success. And when everything is going right, and the temptation there is to say, look at what I've done. But in all of these things, the testing out is whether Jesus is truly everything that he claims to be. Our witness before the whole world is, yes, indeed he is. That's why we call him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why we call him the Good Shepherd. That's why we call him the Savior. That's why we not only bow down before him, acknowledging his authority and the might and power of God, but we worship him and we sing praises because he is the one that we would want to have all of that might and power. Because he is faithful, because he is loving, because he holds us in his hands, because we know that with him watching over and holding us and holding our lives in place, that in the end there will be blessings. We can trust him with everything. So we stand like John the Baptist and we say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we say, follow him. It's not follow us. And what we want for every human being in the world is to know this Jesus Christ. Did you notice the response of Andrew in the gospel lesson? When John said, behold the Lamb of God, Andrew did two things. One was, for himself, he went and followed Jesus. And then the second was, he went and found his brother Simon and said, you have to come see this, this Lamb of God, this Messiah, this Christ, come on. And he brings his brother Peter. If Jesus tests out as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and as truly the one whom we can trust in every situation, then he is the one that we want everybody else in the world to follow. But coming back out of that detour, is it not true also that each day of our lives will bring a slightly different situation? And that the challenge of each day when we are still in this world, each day is to learn to say, I know that God loves me. In that day, and among the things that happen that day. And each day that God keeps us in this world is a day for that witness to be the witness of our lives. To say the same thing now in this new day before the world. I know that God loves me. How do I know? Because of Jesus. Because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. My Lamb of God who has taken away my sin. In Jesus' name, amen.